Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This Pride Month, Risk has stories of LGBTQ folks from all walks of life. Go get the Risk podcast on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Breaking news, Alex Bregman has signed a deal with the Boston Red Sox.
Decisions will be made in a few weeks, and there's going to be people upset.
Third base, he's not going to play third base.
I'm a DH, and I feel like you guys need to change the subject because that is over, and I'm the DH.
And Bregman, at the last minute, holds up at first base. And he hurt himself, oh no. A nightmare for the Red Sox. Few shot, chopper on the first base line. And Casas goes down in a heap. Tristan is in a ton of pain.
No, I mean, he's our DH.
No.
They can't expect me to play, every single position out there.
No.
They talked to me and basically, told me to put away my glove, that I wasn't going to play any other position but DH.
Devers swings and rockets one on a line into center field, base hit. And Rafael Devers delivers.
He played ball, and I would like to think that he knows that, changing positions like that isn't easy.
Rafi drills one high and deep into right field. He owns Yankee Stadium. Adios, Carita.
Good to see him taking ground balls, and we know that when the time is right, if we need him, he'll be there.
High and deep into right field, back to track. Gone! A grand slam for Devers.
Devers swings and launches. Center field. It is gone!
Devers drives one high and deep into center field. It is gone!
Rafael Devers did not want to be in Boston anymore, and the Red Sox saw this as an opportunity to get rid of more than $250 million.
Adios, Carito!
This is WEEI Afternoons
with Andy Hart, Nick Fitzy Stevens,
and three-time Super Bowl champion Ted Johnson on WEEI.
Just when you thought it was safe to buy back in, just when you thought it was all right to put back on your new City Connect and be a super fan all over again, just after the Red Sox won their fourth straight, completing a sweep against the New York Yankees, re-entering the rivalry, the AL East race, and the playoff chase at large, they pull you back in. Or actually, they give you the Heisman and keep you at arm's length. That's right. In the middle of all this drama, in the middle of all the excitement, the fever pitch on Father's Day, no less. Awkward time to get a Rafael Devers jersey as a Father's Day present, no less, Mego. The Red Sox, out of the blue, upend your Sunday night supper on Father's Day, trading three-time All-Star, best hitter, highest paid player, most recognizable Red Sox, and the last bastion of the 2018 World Series champion Red Sox, Rafael Devers, as you heard Will Fleming right there at the tail end of Brian Ferzocco's fantastic opening montage, celebrating the entry of Bregman and the farewell of Devers. Rafael Devers traded from the Red Sox to the San Francisco Giants in, dare I say, Mego, a Garapolian style, out of the blue, unexpected, for a yield that none seem too pleased about. And boy, oh boy, don't we have a big Monday bucket of stuff to talk about. Hello, everybody. It's Mego and Fitzy and Dan Ballgame filling in for Andy and Ted and Fitzy. I'll be playing the part. Who's playing Fitzy today, Dan Ball? Am I playing Fitzy or am I Andy Hart, or how's that work out?
I feel like it's something you kind of got to sort out along the way. I'm happy to take the Fitzy mantle. I'd be honored.
I don't know about that, actually. It's... I've heard it can be kind of hard. A lot of expectations, big chin, a lot of hair, goofy behavior. No one really likes your tweets. I don't know if I'd do that. You're doing a great job these days. So it's Fitzy, it's Mego, it's Dan Ball, and of course, behind the glass, Stanley Stiz Grimy Bruno here with you from 2 to 6 on WEEI Afternoons. You can give us a call or shoot us a text at any time, 617-779-7937. 7937. The socials on the IG and the tweet machine at WEEI Afternoons. She's at Megan underscore Adelini, and I'm at Fitzy GFY. On today's show, full-blown, nonstop Rafael Devers mania. Why it happened? Did it have to happen now? Who the hell did they get back? Is it even close to commensurate value for Rafael Devers? Spoiler alert, nope. Is this the new Mookie Betts trade for a brand new generation as well? Chris Cotillo from Mass Live, who's done an excellent job covering the Rafael Devers dysfunction and drama at 2:30. We're hoping to get our pal Lou Merlone on the show later on today as well. You never want to miss a three-point stance. That's coming up at 3 o'clock. And, of course, it's a Monday, so we got a Fitzy 5 for you coming up in the 5 o'clock hour. Today, the five most shocking trades in Boston sports history over the last 100 years. I couldn't go back and include Babe Ruth. I think that was just a little too far. But let's find out later if the Devers trade makes the most shocking trades. First, on the table, set it up. Your initial reaction when your phone blew up last night around 6:30 or so. Rafael Devers, gone! No longer a Red Sox.
What a freaking clown show. Oh, my God. So I got the news. My brother-in-law texted me and said, did Devers really just get traded? And I'm like, what? Because we're all sitting on the couch just watching random stuff. And sure enough, like everybody else, you're checking three different sources to make sure that you're not getting goofed on by somebody on Twitter.
Right.
What a joke this is. And this is where I want to go first, because I know everybody, for the most part, has been reading stuff, listening to other opinions and more information as it comes out about this trade all day long. We're here at 2 o'clock. I'm trying to absorb it as much as everybody else and what we're hearing from really smart reporters. The return is inexcusable to me because of how long you saw this coming. Like, to all of us, it was such a shock, such a shock. But now when you go back, you look at Julian McWilliams has a report from CBS Sports. He was previously with the Globe, and you find out that Rafael Devers was asking for a trade back in spring training after things had gone sideways when Alex Bregman was signed to his position on defense.
And that can't come as a surprise because he stormed out of camp.
And then even beyond that, Fitzy, you look back to 5.5 weeks ago when things really seemed to hit a tipping point. You have the owner, John Henry, who never shows his face anywhere. He goes out to Kansas City to meet one-on-one to have a, quote, candid conversation with Rafael Devers. And that's five and a half weeks ago. And this is the best that you could come up with? This is the best that you could come up with. I know we're going to dive into the return, but to me, I think mostly agrees that Devers, the way that he has acted, he's never been a leader in that clubhouse. Great bat, but you could even argue maybe not the best Red Sox player. Like, you can in good faith make that argument. But at the same time, you had months to try to figure out how to move this guy. And the only thing that you can really do backflips over is like, oh, they got somebody to eat his contract. 8 years of the future contract.
$255 million.
You have financial flexibility, and we're supposed to be excited for that?
What, the financial flexibility doesn't move your baseball needle, Mego?
We're supposed to be excited for financial flexibility? Like, what is this? Am I meeting with a financial advisor at Bank of America? Get out of here.
Yeah, you're talking to your wealth management advisor. Yeah, exactly.
That's my takeaway. What a freaking joke.
So you think it's a joke in so much as the Red Sox return. You're trading away one of the best DHs in baseball, one of the best home run hitters, one of the best power hitters, tops in RBIs, one of the most dynamic left-handed bats, and you're looking for something reasonably equal, commensurate in value in return. If this wasn't just some random outfielder and three pitchers you'd never heard of before, which almost makes Connor Wong, Jeter Downs, and Alex Verdugo seem like a king's ransom at this point. If you thought the return was better, would you have been more okay? Would you have stomached this trade a little easier? Would it have been more palatable for you?
Certainly. I think the return is the whole thing. I'm not weeping for the loss of Devers. I have kind of been over Devers for a while. I don't like the way that he comports himself, his inflexibility. Obviously, now, as more information comes out, we know that he was so at odds with the front office and what they were asking him to do. So that's the point that it had gotten to. But it's like, I don't think he's irreplaceable. I don't think that he's going to be this once in a generation player that you look back on and you go like, oh my God, now that guy is going to be mashing for 8 years somewhere else. But at the same time, you don't trade away a piece like that and just settle. And they just settled. And I think that's so frustrating. And on top of all of it, what they settled for is some pretty mediocre pitching and prospects. Like a flyer on a guy also named Bayo that we basically don't know anything about. And they're once again telling fans, just hold on tight. We're going to operate like a mid-tier, like a mid-market team. But don't worry. The kids are up here now, so things are going to get better. Like, why are you going to just have a little patience? It's been 7 years since the 2018 World Series. You've totally dismantled the core of that team for pennies on the dollar. I don't know how anyone has the patience to root for this team anymore.
Yeah, that was one of the big takeaways last night at large. I didn't get a chance to consume much mainstream media, given all the familial activities that were taking place. But everything that I saw online was, that's it. Fire Breslow, fire Cora, sell the team, I'm out, this was it, this is the last move to me. And I think it's mostly just because of the value. My two initial takeaways, Mego, and I see the phones are already lighting up with a variety pack of calls, intel on the prospects, a conspiracy theory on why the Red Sox and the Fenway Sports Group could have made the call now, and so much more. Love that at 617-779-7937. So my big thing, Mego, is I understand wanting to get out from under a contract you were reluctant to hand out in the first place, but sometimes you don't get tradesy backs. Like, you don't just get to be like, we never should have given you that. That was an impetuous move on our behalf. It was reactionary to a fan revolt led at one of our little Red Sox parties over the winter because everybody was so mad that Bogarts was gone and we got donuts on the dollar back for Mookie Betts. That trade is the dumbest trade in the history of maybe all Boston sports, let alone the Red Sox, because they got nothing back for a guy who's truly one of the best players in baseball, top five over the last 10 years, easily would have gone down as one of the 10 best members of the Red Sox in his career as well. I understand wanting to get out from underneath it if you think that he is a sour grape, if he's a bad apple, a bad egg, if he's poisoning the locker room to a certain degree, if he's setting a bad example, a bad precedent, and other people are following his lead or lack thereof. He's always been a reluctant leader at best. Yes, he's a dynamic bat. His bad attitude, his inflexibility, and the way that he has handled himself, like you said, the way that he comports himself, I'm not going to miss that in the very least. However, that you wanted to, that you needed to, that you felt like you couldn't handle the turbulence from his behavior and what was going on behind the scenes long enough to ride the season out when you could tell that you clearly need his bat in the middle of the lineup and that his presence is good, like that void that's going to be created, regardless of how good the kids may do, regardless of whatever Yoshida or whoever else comes back up and fills in the DH sometime soon does. Like, just why now? That's, I think, of all my questions and curiosities, why right now, the middle of June during a hot streak, when it looks like you finally turn the ship around and you are chartering a course for relevance and a possible playoff push as you head towards the halfway point of the season. Why now? Because I don't see, unless this is complete addition by subtraction, I don't see how the Red Sox are a better team. Forget the prospects, please. I don't see how the Red Sox are a better team today than they were yesterday.
I'm seeing texts roll in about how you should be excited about the financial flexibility. This opens up room for them to spend. I'm done. I don't know how you trust that they're going to spend. And the way that they used this Rafael Devers contract, which you alluded to there, Fitzy, mm-hmm. was that after they let Xander Bogaerts walk, which a lot of fans were pissed about in the moment then, was they turned around that December and signed Rafi. And they held up this biggest contract ever, and it's 10 years, and aren't you so excited? We're maintaining a piece from the core of that 2018 World Series. And they turn around and do this, and everybody can say Rafi was a brat, and he was selfish, and he was inflexible, and I totally agree with you. But he didn't get to that point just because he's a jerk. He didn't just wake up one day after getting paid and say, I'm sick of this place. You need to have accountability on both sides. And when they just ship him out and they yank him from the team plane, put him in an Uber, and get him back to send him back out to San Francisco, who you're going to see on Friday. It just looks like a clown show. Like, I don't know how people, God bless you if you're so optimistic and sunny side of the street that you've been through the last 7 years and you watch all of this go down and you go, well, it's okay, guys. Like, let's see what they do. Let's pump the brakes. I feel like we're in good hands. I don't know. At the same time, I kind of feel like you're an ostrich with your head in the sand. Like, I can't understand that approach. God bless you if that's how you feel. But if this was a team that I had season tickets to, that I cared deeply about, that I was buying jerseys for my kids for, I'd be like, F off with this financial flexibility. Get out of here.
Wow.
Okay. All right. Well, that's a take for sure. I think there is a chance the addition by subtraction principle could kick in as well. And I'm not saying that any lineup is better when you remove a boomstick like Rafael Devers. But you do... They have been playing better baseball of late while Alex Bregman has been out. So when Bregman returns, maybe you won't feel it as bad. Maybe you won't feel it as badly. We'll see exactly how, you know, what kind of, you know, what he meant to the soup, what he meant to the clubhouse. I'm dying to hear from any member of the Red Sox. I'll be very curious if Breslow, Cora, and by the way, this week we'll be speaking with Alex Cora. Our usual Wednesday 2:30 p.m. interview will be tomorrow. 5:30 p.m. Me, Ted Johnson, Dan Ball. We will have Alex Cora live from the West Coast tomorrow at 5:30 p.m. on WEEI Afternoons. I'm dying to hear from all of them. When did you know about it? Did you sign off on it? Are you okay with it? How do you feel about the prospects? Did Bailey or basically tell you who you were supposed to go and get from San Francisco since he had affiliation with the organization previously? Like, this one move has opened up just a bucket of questions. And I don't even know how in the world we're going to be able to, how in the world we're going to get them all answered. Dan Ball, real quick, before we jump to the phones and start talking to the Fenway faithful and the good people at WEEI, what was your initial take as you were enjoying your Father's Day with your pops down in Connecticut?
Well, it certainly ruined dinner. I can tell you that. It was.
We ate an hour and a half late, too. There was no warm supper service.
Yeah, and all of a sudden, the appetite kind of just flew away. It was the funniest thing when you see something like that. It was the most aggressive example, Fitzy, to me, that we've seen of this leadership group having zero plan. And we've talked about it more within the context of calling up the kids when you had injuries instead of calling them up when you felt like they were ready. This, to me, just felt like we need to get rid of them now. And we're not going to do our due diligence. We're not going to shop them according to Buster only. We just need to make this knee-jerk reaction for a reason that I don't think we know yet. So,
yeah, we're going to call up John Lynch in the middle of the night and ask for a second round pick.
Yeah, it didn't feel very well. It didn't feel well planned. It didn't feel like there was the due diligence done beforehand. And now in already say uneasy tenure for a superstar in Boston has ended on about the worst note possible.
Yeah, just I apologize. I didn't mean to step on your toes there, Dan. But what is up with Boston teams making impetuous trades with superstars and sending them to San Francisco basically in the middle of the night? I don't get it. Like the Garoppolo deal was Jimmy G out of the blue on a Monday night to San Francisco. This is Rafael Devers to San Francisco, who you're playing on Friday. God, if he starts at first base or third, he obviously won't start at third base. They have a great third baseman. But if he, so help me God, if he plays first base out there, would it surprise you, Mego, if he did? Would it surprise you in the least if he's like, oh, no, I'm absolute team first.
He's already giving quotes that he will, so I don't think it should surprise anybody.
What a dink. You know, honestly, I will sit on this. I'm not going to fence it. I'm not going to go, oh, I can see why they'd want to move on from him. Oh, he had a point. Like our pal Andrew Callahan had his great piece in the Boston Herald. He's beside himself. He thinks the Red Sox have absolutely, regardless of the return they got, they mishandled one of their superstars, the last of the superstars they had of the mid-2010s and beyond. And I get it. I appreciate the passion. I just think at this point now, his insolence and his bad attitude and his inability to be flexible and go team first, especially considering he was being paid $750 million to just swing a baseball bat, which most of us would do for free. I know. No one wants to hear the fan-centric take on it, but I think that's one of the main reasons why they wanted to get him out. 617-779-7937 is your telephone number. The lines are jammed like the Mass Pike's going to be this weekend when they replace the bridge in Newton. Let's go line one, Matt in Linfield. Matt, how are you?
What's up, Fitzy? What's up, Mega? How we doing?
Okay. Buddy? How are you doing, Matt?
I'm hanging in there. I have a. I'm coming to you as a member of Red Sox Nation, but a diehard international soccer fan, and I have a conspiracy theory about this trade. Liverpool Football Club just spent $180 million on some of the best players in the world and are making an aggressive push to chase the Premier League title again. And I feel like this is an easy way for the Red Sox ownership group, who has not shown that they can manage superstars over the years, to get out from under that contract so they can spend in Europe.
So wait, so you think they were willing to basically accept back, you know, Pitch McGee, Flotsam, Jetsam, and some random dude from San Francisco, so that this was not even a Red Sox ownership. This was a Fenway Sports Group move?
Well, it feels like when you watch both sides of the pond, right, they were really invested in trying to win the Premier League every year, and it doesn't feel like this ownership group is invested in trying to win even the American League East, let alone the World Series. It feels like they don't know how to treat superstars, and they're running everybody out of town.
Ooh, I like it. Mego, how do you like that? Matt, thanks for the call, man. Have a great day. I love it. I love the idea of a zesty international spin on things. John Henry's like, well, I'll just go spend my $250 million elsewhere. Actually, if they're going to – this is good. I love this. If it's like 180 million pounds, okay, which is what I feel like I weigh after having too much dinner late last night. If it's 180 million pounds, that's basically the Rafael Devers deal. So they just decide, okay, he's a pain in the ass. We'll take something back in return. And then John Henry, literally, this would incense, I love it, this would incense Red Sox fans even more. Like, he literally borrowed from, what is it, you rob Peter to pay Paul? Or in this case, he robbed Devers to pay Liverpool?
Yeah, I think that it's very fair to look at this situation. And if you're a fan of any of the teams in Fenway Sports Group, but think about the team for which that group is named, and just feel that they are part of a portfolio. That's what it is now. I know that's an accusation that it's been around for years. And at times I've thought, well, it's kind of unfair. This is the ownership group that brought you your World Series after such a long drought. But I think that goodwill is mostly gone at this point. If you look at the way that they've operated, I think it's fair to look at how they spend on other teams, how they spend on development projects like Fenway Corners, and say, are these really all in separate bank accounts? If you want to look at it that way, I think it's just a part of the portfolio, and that's how they're running it.
Interesting you say that. Like Fenway Corners, just the same way. Now, Mego, people got on the Patriots for a long time because it was, oh, we're too interested in building the world's largest flat-screen TV so we can get the World Cup.
I think that was fair, too. The lighthouse, all of that.
Yeah,
I think it's fair.
Yeah, the lighthouse and the TV. It's like, hey, how about focusing on the product on the field as opposed to all the cosmetic improvements that you guys want to make, so as you can get the World Cup and fancy up the stadium. That's actually, if we're being honest, a little bit behind the times now. And now here they are like, well, we got a great sports portfolio. The fact that you used in the first break on the show following the trade of the biggest superstar in the Red Sox, the fact that the word portfolio was used is probably just absolutely, you know, souring every hot dog being consumed in Sox Nation. One more quick call before we go. Andrew is in California on line two. Andrew, how are you?
Hey, thank you for letting me join your show here. I know the Harrison family, and I follow Kyle very closely. I think when I hear people describe him as a joker, you know, he's part of a bag of balls, this kid has quite a pedigree. And if you look back, he played for the USA national team as a 20-year-old in Richmond, Virginia. I think he struck out more guys than anybody had in 80 years. And then in his first 10 starts with the Giants, he struck out more guys than anybody in the Giants has won Marichal.
Okay. Excellent. Well, thank you very much. Sorry.
I don't think anybody, first of all, that phone was tough.
Yeah, the phone was bad. And also at this point, Andrew, well, I think I know where you're going with this one, Mego.
Nobody called him a bag of balls. He just got demoted to the bullpen. Like, that's right. What we're saying. You need help with the pitching overall. Like, yeah, it's great that you got two more arms and maybe even another in a prospect, but if you tell me that the return that you're getting back now is going to make your team better than having Rafael Devers in your lineup, I just think you're kidding yourself.
Yeah, I mean, I did bandy about the phrase flotsam and jetsam, and so people have said bag of balls or nothing in return. Perhaps there'll be something, I don't know, but right now the contributions that'll be made via the four players that were that were acquired in the Rafael Devers trade, in no way, shape, or form will they possibly amount to the contributions that he was making in the lineup during that hot streak as well. Lines are still jammed up at 617-779-7937. We will try to get to all.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Risk is the show where people tell true stories they never thought they'd dare to share. This Pride Month, Risk will be featuring the stories of LGBTQ folks from all walks of life. Go get Risk on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Your calls within the hour for sure, so hang on. Coming up, Chris Cotillo, who's done an awesome job for Mass Live covering the Rafael Devers drama and dysfunction, joins me, Mego, and Ballgame here on Afternoons. But first, coming up, we got to catch you up on everything else going on in the wild world of sports. Trending right now with Dan Ball.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This Pride Month, Risk has stories of LGBTQ folks from all walks of life. Go get the Risk podcast on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.